The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
So the very popular singer-songwriter Ryan Adams, who is due to come to Dublin to perform two gigs in March, is facing allegations of emotional abuse and sexual misconduct from multiple women. This is according to a report in New York Times, and we're joined by culture reporter with that newspaper, co-author of the story, Milena Rysik. Milena, thank you very much for joining us on the programme. Tell us, please, what it is that you have assembled and published about Ryan Adams.
My colleague Joe Coscarelli and I spoke with seven women and over a dozen associates of Ryan's, and they described a troubling pattern of behavior in which he dangled professional opportunities while he pursued female artists for sex. And, you know, in some cases when those relationships did not pan out as he wanted, he would jerk away those, you know, his professional support, and in some cases turn emotionally and psychologically abusive and subject people to harassment.
What sort of promises did he make which he then didn't deliver upon?
I think what we saw is a lot of a lot of musicians that he found, especially on Twitter. He took an interest in young artists, young female artists. He would scout them and he would say, come to my studio. He had a studio and a record label in LA. He'd say, I'll record you. You know, he often flattered them very heavily, and they would show up. He would play a song. He would say, oh my God, you're the next Dylan. I'm going to put out a 7-inch of your work. Let's go on tour together. And that was actually the experience of one of our sources, Phoebe Bridgers, who was a 20-year-old singer when she met him. And they began a sexual relationship. He started sending her flirty texts as he was talking about her album, and then became emotionally abusive. And when she ended the relationship, he started to pull back on all of those professional opportunities that he had dangled.
Seven women, how many of them have been named publicly in this article?
We have five women who spoke to us with their names, including a young woman who was actually a minor when she had her experiences with Ryan. We identify her by her middle name because she was underage.
What age was she? This is a particularly upsetting story.
Yeah, she was 14 when she and Ryan began communicating online. Again, they met on Twitter. She was also a musician. She was a bass player. And like a lot of teenagers with a guitar in their room, she was actually making it work. She was gigging. She was playing clubs. And it was her passion. She imagined that it would be her career. He showed up in her DMs. And they started having a conversation about music that then turned sexual. And eventually they started communicating on Skype, where he at times exposed himself to her during phone sex.
And there is the actual evidence, is there, of how many text messages over a period of 9 months?
Yeah, in reporting the story, we actually saw a huge amount of correspondence between Ryan and these women, especially in the case of this young girl. We had reviewed over 3,000 messages between them that they exchanged when she was 15 and 16.
And in one of those messages, he said, if people knew, they would say I was like R. Kelly, lol.
Right. You know, this young woman did at times tell him that she was older than she was. He was often harping on her age. That was a real through line of their conversations. He would sort of ask her, please tell me you're 18. You have to convince me. And so sometimes she would tell him that she was older than she was. But he really didn't ever seem to be convinced, because he kept coming back to it. And he kept, you know, saying things like that, you know, invoking other people who have been accused of targeting young girls.
In addition to that, that also happened at a time when he was married to the singer and actress Mandy Moore. What has she said to you as part of your investigation?
That's right. She also spoke with us for the story, and you know, like many people, she was drawn to Ryan because of his musicianship. They met when they were both on tour. You know, we think of her as an actress, but she started out as a singer. And when they met, he started to say to her, you know, I'm going to help you with your album. He promised that he would produce the work. You know, they wrote songs together, but ultimately he never recorded her, although he kept promising that. And she came to consider their relationship emotionally and psychologically abusive, because in addition to sort of stringing her along about what he could do for her career, he would demean her talent. He would tell her, you know, you're not a real artist because you don't play an instrument. And that's something that, you know, really, if you hear that from somebody that is your spouse, can be really crushing and defeating. And it was something that, you know, it's taken her a long time to shake that kind of undermining off.
And Melania, you also
She actually never released another album after their marriage.
You also spoke to his ex-fiance, Megan Butterworth. Did she have a similar story?
Megan did have a similar story in that, you know, Ryan impinged on her ability to work. He was controlling about who she socialized with. He sort of tried to isolate her socially and professionally. And also in the aftermath of their breakup, similarly, he harassed her. He sent her, you know, hundreds of harassing texts and messages. He also posted harassing things about her on social media. So it really was all part of the same pattern. It's, you know, it's a spectrum of behavior, but we think it really shows that, you know, that abuse of power is not just necessarily physical. There are psychological, emotional elements to it too, and that sort of manipulation and control can also have a big impact on people's sense of self-worth and on their ambitions and career.
Melania, before I just read an extract from the response that Ryan Adams has put up on Twitter, what reaction did he give to you when you put questions to him in advance of publication?
He denied all of the allegations in our story. Most stringently, he denied the relationship with the young woman, with the underage girl. He said that he didn't recall any of those exchanges, that he would never knowingly have a sexual relationship with someone who was underage. He basically said it didn't happen, even though we have 3,217 text messages between them.
So you went to print confident that what you had was accurate. I'm just going to read you his statement. "I'm not a perfect man and I've made many mistakes to anyone I've ever hurt. However, unintentionally, I apologize deeply and unreservedly. But the picture that this article paints is upsettingly inaccurate. Some of its details are misrepresented, some are exaggerated, some are outright false. I would never have inappropriate interactions with someone I thought was underage, period. As someone who's always tried to spread joy through my music and my life, hearing that some people believe I caused them pain saddens me greatly. I'm resolved to work to be the best man I can be, and I wish everyone compassion, understanding, and healing." Is that going to wash?
You know, I think if you look at the responses to his tweet, even in his own Twitter timeline, it seems that people are not buying that. You know, even in the context of it being an apology, you know, a lot of the responses that I saw said you can't apologize for something and also say you didn't do it.
And Melania, what prompted this investigation? Because we've heard so much, particularly in the movie industry, the Kevin Spacey's, Harvey Weinstein, various others. There perhaps has been sort of the sex, drugs and rock and roll lifestyle. Is it that people actually up until now didn't really investigate the music industry on the basis that this was almost accepted as what happened?
Absolutely. I think that that's one of the reasons that we haven't seen the music industry be as affected by this Me Too movement that has roiled other factions of entertainment and media. For us, this story started with an anonymous tip, which is, you know, how a lot of this reporting starts. And then we have been working on it for about 5 months. And I'll tell you, I think one of the reasons that we thought it was an important story to do, especially in the aftermath of some of that original reporting about Harvey Weinstein and Kevin Spacey and those folks, is that because it is a more nuanced story. This is not, you know, the kind of behavior necessarily that would be, you know, automatically written off as, you know, a rape or a violent assault or something like that. It's the kind of behavior that we see over and over again in many industries, especially in creative fields where people abuse their power. They dominate women who they want to work with, and they exploit them sexually. And I think one of the reasons that the piece has resonated is because, you know, unfortunately, it's an experience that a lot of people can see themselves in.
Melania Rysik from the New York Times, thank you very much for being with us on The Last Word here on Today FM. Margaret Martin, Director of Women's Aid, is with us as well here in Dublin. Margaret, what do you make of all of what you've just heard there?
It's frighteningly familiar, to be honest, Matt. I mean, the kind of things that we hear every day, we get about 50 calls to our helpline every day, and we're getting increasing numbers of calls from younger women. And they talk to us about the kind of controlling behavior from their boyfriends of who they see, you know, what they wear, harassment with text. I think that whole thing, I mean, if you listen to, you know, what Melania was talking about, it is a pattern of behavior. The other thing is this kind of threats about, you know, if you ever leave me, I'll harm myself, the threats of suicide, etc. We hear an awful lot of that kind of thing. And it sometimes can be really difficult for someone to make sense of that. So today on Valentine's Day, we've been running a campaign called Two Into You, which is really about encouraging women to think, well, if your instinct feels that there's something wrong, to trust it. If somebody seems too into you and too controlling about what you're doing, to trust that. And we have a website that shows a number of those kind of behaviors and also gives information about how you can apply for an order for legal protection in relation to them.
And what is the website?
It's just Two Into You, or if you go on to Women's Aid, similarly, both of those are available to download online. We have a lot of posters. If you know somebody where you see this pattern of behaviour happening as well, you know, you can go on online and download the information. And our helpline is available 24/7, and, you know, people very often ring us up to talk to us about somebody that they're concerned about.
Thank you very much, Margaret Barton from Women's Aid, for joining us here on The Last Word on Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.